I invite you to turn in whatever translation you would like to the second chapter of Philippians as we continue our sermon series on this wonderful letter that Paul wrote to the ancient church at Philippi. And our passage today begins in verse 12 of the second chapter of the book of Philippians. And Paul said these words, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." Work out and work in. Our job is to work out our salvation. God's job is to work in us. Our job is to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, and we're going to talk about that. God's job is to work in us, to will and to act according to his good will. What does all that mean to us? First, let's talk about what it does not mean. Many people misread this verse. This is what Paul did not say. Continue to work for your salvation. You can't do that. It's impossible. Salvation is a free gift. It's God's gift to you and to me. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. And you don't deserve it either. That's salvation 101. Is this, should I use this? Okay, we're going to switch. Can you hear me? That's salvation 101. And most of you didn't need to hear that. You already know salvation 101. And you cannot move to salvation 201 until you have an A+ in salvation 101. So I hope you do. You did not choose God. God chose you. Thanks be to God. Can you say that? Thanks be to God. He saved me. He chose me. God gave you the gift of salvation, and his instructions to you are, now work it out. The Greek word for work out literally means to complete the task. That is salvation 201. Complete the task. Do you ever go to the movies? I have to confess, I enjoy going to the movies. And if you go to the theater today, you've discovered something about the movies today. A number of things about the movies today. But one of the things you've discovered is it's very expensive. And if you go to the concession stand, it is ridiculously expensive. And I just cannot resist movie popcorn. I love the aroma. I love the crunch. I love the taste. I get extra butter on top. Forgive me, but I just love it. And so you go and you buy the expensive tickets and you buy the expensive popcorn and you sit down in the plush seats of the movie theater and you see 40 zillion previews of the things that are about to come and finally the lights lower all the way down and your precious expensive movie finally begins. It's a love story. And you embrace the characters. You laugh with them some and you weep with them quite a bit and you root for them. You root that everything's going to be worked out okay for them. Then after an hour and a half or maybe even more, hoping for their best, the movie ends without a conclusion. They didn't tell me what happens to them. I feel cheated. I spent too much time, too much money, too much emotional energy to have this stupid story end without a conclusion. It's incomplete. That could be your life. And that's what I want to talk about today. You are incomplete. Unless you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Have you done that? But if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are still incomplete. Because the next step is that you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord, your master. He's the boss. You are His servant. That's your next step, the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. Have you done that? But if you have done that, even that, you are still incomplete. You need to keep working it out. You need to keep working on it until you are glorified in heaven, and then you will be complete in Jesus Christ. It's a process. It's a long process. It's called growing up. And I'm not talking about growing up as a boy to a man or a girl to a woman. And age has absolutely nothing to do with it. I'm talking about growing up and down and deep and in and out and into spiritual maturity in Jesus Christ. That is what Paul is saying in Philippians 2, and that is salvation 201. Grow up in Christ. Let me ask you something. When you get sick, do you go to the doctor? Probably. And perhaps the doctor gives you a prescription. Okay. What's the next step? The next step is to stop by your pharmacy and get the prescription filled. Okay. What's the next step? The next step is to go home and open the pill bottle and throw all the pills away. No, you take the pills. If you don't take the pills, the process is incomplete. God has given you His prescription for full salvation and glorification in heaven, and what comes next is you're working it out according to God's plan for your life. And every one of us is at a different phase, a different stage of development, a different level of maturity and experience in this spiritual growth process. And most likely, every single one of us has taken two steps forward and one step back, and some of us have taken more than one step back from time to time. Amen? That happens to a lot of college kids, by the way, Miranda. I hope that's not happening to you. You stay the course, girl. You show them what it's like to be in Christ. I know you do. I know you do. Thank God that He is patient with all of us. Amen? Thank God He's patient. Now, before we move on, I want you to recognize something. And this is a tremendous challenge for every single one of us individually. But Paul made it even more difficult. When he said, continue to work out your salvation, the pronoun your that he used was in the plural. He wasn't talking to just me as an individual, to you as an individual. He was talking to the church. The church. We are supposed to grow up in Christ in spiritual maturity. Covenant fellowship. We are supposed to grow up. There is no church on the planet that is not in the process of growing up, of growing into maturity in Jesus Christ. Some of them are faster at it than others, and some of them are further along than others, and it's very easy to become discouraged with one's church if you dwell on the fact that it is incomplete. It is incomplete. Have you ever been discouraged with a church before? Have you ever been discouraged with this church before? Some people in the church want to run like a cheetah. Some people want to roam around like an oxen. And some people want to move like a sloth. But look closely and you discover God is in control of all of that. He has it all under control. If He can control all those galaxies out there, He can control this little world of ours. He turns His churches from black to white to full color in His time, in His ways. And He also does that with us as people, as people. Back to the scripture. Continue to work out, complete your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, that's the kind of language that sometimes turns people off. It turns off seekers. They don't understand it. Fear and trembling, it sounds frightening. I don't want to be afraid of something, but hopefully you know that these biblical words mean something entirely different. They mean awe and wonder, overwhelmed with the majesty of God. Have you ever felt that? Have you ever felt awe and wonder in the presence of God? Isaiah felt that way when he was in the temple and he had his vision of God on the throne. And you know what? When he saw the beauty and the glory of that vision, he didn't say, "Gosh, that's pretty. Look, everybody." No, he said, "Woe is me! I am undone." That's King James. That's King James. But in the NIV, he said, "Woe is me, I am ruined, I am lost, I am helpless." That is the testimony of awe that I'm talking about, that should strike every man, every woman, every child when they encounter the living God. That is the biblical definition of fear and trembling. When the soldiers arrived at the Garden of Gethsemane to arrest Jesus, they asked, "Where is Jesus?" Jesus said, "Who were you seeking?" And they said, "Are you Jesus of Nazareth?" They didn't know him. They were not his followers. Probably they had never seen him or met him. "Are you Jesus of Nazareth?" And he said, "I am he." And when he said that, the soldiers did not say, "You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say may be used against you in a court of law." No, they drew back in fear and trembling, and they fell down on the ground in awe of the Son of God speaking to them and saying, "I am." We all need a Garden of Gethsemane experience. The kind of fear and trembling I'm talking about should not make us hide from God. It should make us run to God. It's attractive. You might describe it this way, though. You might say we should live in fear and trembling that we might grieve God in some way. Or, heaven forbid, that we might ever crucify Jesus again. We need to complete our salvation by growing up in Jesus Christ with a sobering sense of the awesome respect that we have for God and for His Word. Now, we've been talking about Salvation 201, but you cannot completely understand Salvation 201 unless you add the next phrase. This is what Paul said next: "For it is God who works in you." For it is God who works in you. Completing your salvation is the outworking of God's inworking. Some of us need to hear that over and over and over again. We've been in the church for decades. We need to hear that. Salvation, completing your salvation, is the outworking of God's inworking. God wants you to live out in your life what He's already put into your life. As someone else put it, they said, "Authentic Christianity is an inside job." I like that. The essence of Salvation 201 is like this: "We've only just begun." That was the Carpenters' number one hit in 1970, and it was the song that was sung in more weddings at that time than just about any other wedding around the United States of America, including Christian weddings. "We've only just begun to live." That's a decent way of describing what I'm trying to say. We're in a process. And we have only just begun to live. No matter how old you are, or how new you are to Christ, or how long you've been walking with Christ, all of us We've only just begun. Salvation is not just coming to Jesus Christ. That is just the beginning. God worked in you and He started a process in you. And now you need to work out that process in your life. Listen again. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. Now here's something really wonderful. The word that Paul used for works in and to act is the same Greek word, and it's a Greek word that always describes an effective work of God. Whatever God does is never halfway. Whatever God starts, God will complete. God will finish in His fully effective way. And God works and acts in you, listen, completely according to His will for your life. And don't forget, Paul was talking to the church as well as to individuals who make up the church. Covenant Fellowship, at some point in God's timing, we will be complete. We will be effective. We will be spiritually mature. As we said recently, God ain't finished with us yet. And if you're wondering why I'm using that language, you missed a couple of sermons, I suspect. Or you slept through them, one of the two. Well, God woke you up and He said, I'm here, you are mine. And you said, yes, Lord, I see that. And you are my Savior. And God said, okay, but we've only just begun. Let's get on with it. You said, yes, Lord, I'm excited. Like a good Baptist revival, RB, I'm excited. Let's work together. But for the majority of us, that initial excitement in walking with Jesus Christ quickly faded. And for many of us, we discovered ourselves lapsing into apathy. Lukewarm, as Jesus described one of the churches. How many times have you witnessed Christians who are just going through the motions? I don't mean to insult anyone here, but this room is full of people who do that. Every church is full of people who are just going through the motions. Unless we stay on the path to work out our salvation. Without God's help, that apathy will happen to you. Or perhaps it's already happened to you. Without God's help, you cannot grow up in Jesus Christ. Without God's help, you cannot hide the secret sin that is controlling your life. Without God's help, you will just be like the pathetic people that Paul described in Philippi in the next verse. Do everything without complaining or arguing. Why do you think he said that? Because they were complaining and arguing. Right? Without God's help, every church family on earth evolves into complaining and arguing. Been there, done that. Have you ever done? Of course, no one's ever done that here. We're too young a church. I'm just warning us to be careful in our future walk. The Greek word that Paul used for complaining and arguing is the same root Hebrew word that was used to describe the rebellion and the complaining and the arguing of the Hebrews during the Exodus. They murmured against Moses. They complained about their food. They didn't trust their leaders. They even suggested it would be better for us if we could go back into slavery than to be where we are now. Whine, whine, whine. In our world, it kind of lives itself out by this. The grass is always greener on the other side. Let's go over there and try that grass. There's another church. That's got to be a better church than this one. People hop churches all the time because they think the grass is going to be greener. In fact, you and I are just wired to complain. The devil loves it, and he destroys churches who yield to that. Paul continued, "Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God, without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe." I love that. We shine like stars in the universe. What a wonderful picture that is. The light piercing the darkness of the galaxies, all of light and energy. God wants us to be a lighthouse in the world. God wants us to be the light of the world, reflecting the light of Jesus Christ. Verse 16, shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. In other words, be missionaries. Share the gospel. Be ambassadors for your Savior and Lord. Let other people know about them. Show them who He is by the way you are working out your salvation. Are you listening? Show them who He is by the way in which you work out your free gift of salvation. Are you doing that? When is the last time you ever had a conversation with someone about Jesus Christ? When was the last time you shone like a star and reflected His light? Not just to your friends, not just to other members of our fellowship, but to someone outside of your comfort zone. Now, let's conclude all this. Now, let's conclude it with this question. So what? So what? You know what? You have just sat through yet another sermon. How many sermons have you sat through in your life? How many of them can you remember? How many of them changed your life? It is not a sermon that changes your life. It is God working in you that changes your life. Remember that. He said, I've worked in you, and now I want you to work it out. So what are you going to do about this message you've heard today? You've heard it. If you were awake, you heard it. You're now responsible. What are you going to do? God is interested in who you are becoming. He's also interested in who you are, but He's fascinated with who you are becoming as you grow up. It's of great importance to Him. You cannot stay where you are and go with God. You cannot. So, let's get started this afternoon. I have an assignment for you. Where are you going this afternoon? What will you be doing this afternoon? Will you be interacting with anyone this afternoon? Perhaps it will be a waitress. Perhaps it will be a waiter. Perhaps it will be your spouse. Perhaps it will just be you and you alone. So what will you do? What will you do to honor the Lord this afternoon? Will you complain or argue, or will you shine like a star in the heavens? Will you just take a nap, or will you serve someone or spend some extra time with Jesus Christ? Let's move on to tomorrow and for the rest of the week. What appointments do you have this week? I can hear Dale Powell's brain right now saying, oh man, you should come to my house and you didn't know what I'm doing this week. What appointments do you have this week? What will you be doing during those appointments? Will you be interacting with anyone? Are there people that are hard to like? Are there people to whom you hardly ever speak? Are you going to continue to walk on the other side of the street and ignore them? What can you do or say to share something about Jesus Christ with those people? God plants you wherever He wants you, whenever He wants you there. And He puts people in your path, even people you don't like and people you don't want to talk to, because He wants them to be there. And that's part of His gift to you, to help you grow up spiritually. He wants you to shine like a star in heaven. So I'm going to close with a story. You know, I like to do that sometimes. A little girl went to Sunday school. And she asked her father on the way home, she said, "Daddy, can a person go their whole life without sinning?" And he answered, "Oh, honey, I'm sorry, no, but that's just not possible." "Well, Daddy, what about a whole year without sinning?" "No, honey, that's not possible either." "Well, Daddy, what about a whole day?" He shook his head, "No." He said, "No, sweetheart, impossible." And finally she asked him, "Daddy, what about a moment? Can a person go a moment without sinning?" Well, he thought about it, and he looked down, and he looked up, and he said, "Well, honey, yes, I suppose that that may be possible." She smiled, and she said, "Then, Daddy, I want to live my life moment by moment." And that's what I want you to do this afternoon and this week. I want you to live your moments for Jesus Christ. Live for God moment by moment as you work out your salvation to His glory. But let's go one step further. Let me know when you are ready to bring a testimony to the body about how God worked in you this week. We'll open up a spot. Let's pray. Lord God, I am so grateful that you are the one that works out our salvation, because we cannot do it without you. And Lord, I pray that every one of us will walk with you faithfully, boldly, and not be ashamed of the gospel or timid about saying or doing something that will help us be your light. Lord, help us help this world for Jesus. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.